From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his eighth message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text is verses 13 through 16, verses which speak particularly of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom God had given promises of land, descendants, and ultimately of the Lord Jesus Christ. Although they did not see the fulfillment of those promises during their lifetime, yet they lived in the light of what God had promised. They knew that God could not fail, so their vision was upon the heavenly country rather than upon this world and its allurements. Those Old Testament saints lived in the light of the great prospects which lay before them. They resisted the temptation to turn back to the land from which they had come. What a challenge this presents for believers living in this age. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled The Trial and Triumph of Faith. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. I am with you alway. It is well there is one who is ever the same, and who is ever with us. It is well there is one stable rock amidst the billows of the sea of life. O my soul, set not thine affections upon rusting, moth-eaten, decaying treasures, but set thine heart upon him who abides forever faithful to thee. Build not thine house upon the moving quicksands of a deceitful world, but found thy hopes upon this rock, which amid descending rain and roaring floods shall stand immovably secure. My soul, I charge thee, lay up thy treasure in the only secure cabinet. Store thy jewels where thou canst never lose them. Put thine all in Christ. Set all thine affections on his person, all thy hope in his merit, all thy trust in his efficacious blood, all thy joy in his presence, and so thou mayest laugh at loss and defy destruction. Remember that all the flowers in the world's garden fade by turns, and that the day cometh when nothing will be left but the black, cold earth. Death's black extinguisher must soon put out thy candle. Oh, how sweet to have sunlight when the candle is gone! The dark flood must soon roll between thee and all thou hast. Then wed thine heart to him who will never leave thee. Trust thyself with him who will go with thee through the black and surging current of death's stream, and who will land thee safely on the celestial shore, and make thee sit with him in heavenly places forever. Go, sorrowing son of affliction, tell thy secrets to the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Trust all thy concerns with him who never can be taken from thee, who will never leave thee, and who will never let thee leave him. Even Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lo, I am with you alway, is enough for my soul to live upon. Let who will forsake me.
I have been through the valley of weeping, through the valley of sorrow and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me, by his hand to uphold and sustain.
Oh,
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, what I believe concerning him, will tell me where I've got to stand, how I've got to stand, the issues that are dear to the heart of God and therefore dear to the heart of the believer. That's living by faith. They live their lives in the light of God's promises. Their eyes were heavenward. And their eyes, as we'll see next, were homeward. They were always looking forward. The great thing about living the Christian life is that you've always got a future. So the second thing we can say is they lived their lives in the light of their great prospects. We read that they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In verse 14, their desire, as they lived in the light of their great prospects, their desire was their country. Actually, the word country here is literally their fatherland. I think that's a key word. That'll give you an idea of how they were thinking. They're desiring their fatherland, not the land that they came out of, not even the land of Canaan that God had promised to them.
was a very dear part of the promise, precious to them. But oh, they could look even beyond Canaan. And they said, our real fatherland is the heavenly country. And we're looking for that. These people could teach us a lot. You get Christians nowadays and they're so taken up with the immediate blessings of God, so taken up with health and wealth, so taken up with the goodness of the Lord now. Certainly we ought to enjoy it. But that they forget the heavenly country. Their desire was the fatherland. Now that's why they were able to separate from the world. That's why they could say, we're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. Our fatherland is with Christ. That's the desire. We're here as a representative of a foreign land, foreign to the world. But all the day is coming when we're going back, and what is foreign to the world is our fatherland. And of course it is literally so for us because it is our Father's land. We're going to our fatherland first because our Father is there. Second, because our fellowship is there. Third, because truly our Savior is there. Our life is there. All that we hold dear is there. We're going home to glory soon. That is our fatherland. Do you notice how they lived on earth? They lived in the prospect of heaven. They lived their lives on earth desiring heaven. Now that seems to be a strange way to live. It is strange to the worldly mind. The worldly mind will tell you if you're going to live effectively on earth, you've got to really submerge yourself in the things of earth. Now there is a sense, well, there's some truth to that. Ezekiel could say, I sat where they sat. You've got to understand the need of a sinner before you're going to set out to meet that need. But let me tell you, the notion that has got into so many of our people, that the only way to stir up Christians, say, to have a witness and a work among the drug addicts and the streetwalkers of New York City, is to embroil them in all the filth of New York City. It's totally strange to the Word of God. You live with your eyes in heaven, and you'll be the most capable witness for Christ on earth. You live in constant tune with heaven. You have the lines of communication open with heaven, and you will be an effective ambassador for Christ on earth. Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. We're from the fatherland in a strange country. When America sends an ambassador overseas, that ambassador is not all on his own. He has to live in that land with his eyes constantly on his homeland, with the lines open constantly to his homeland, constantly taking instructions from home, constantly seeking the betterment of his homeland and its affairs in the land where he happens to be laboring. That's exactly the picture for a Christian. Their desire is always for the fatherland. And you'll notice their determination as they live in the light of the prospects of heaven. We read that, verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they didn't. Do you ever notice that about Abraham? He never did go back to Ur of the Chaldees. And when he sent to bring a bride out for Isaac,
He told Eliezer, under no circumstances whatsoever is Isaac to go back to Ur and Babylonia. He must not go. Here is the abiding determination of people who are living by faith in God's promise and living in the light of the prospects that God's grace holds out to them. If you're living your life with your eyes on Christ and with your eyes on the glory that Christ is promising, then in your heart you will be saying, no turning back. All around us, men are falling. All around us, we have the alarming, disgusting sight of men betraying their creed, betraying the Christ whom they profess. And let me tell you, we are going to see more and more of it in the days to come. The apostasy is deepening. There is a great horror of darkness falling upon the face of the earth. If I understand anything of the prophetic statements of Scripture, I can see that there is a darkness of a worldwide apostasy, and it is taking great shape. Churches today are turning their back upon the Bible. They're manipulating God's Word. They will retranslate it in order to corrupt it and give some semblance of authority for the evil practices in which they're engaged. There is the constant working at the production of a world super church under the aegis and under the guidance and ultimately under the control of the Roman Catholic Church and her Pope and her cardinals. With that church, there is the jettisoning of all the great doctrines of the Protestant Reformation. There is the repudiation of the finished work of Christ. There is the dragging of the name of our Savior in the gutter. And across the world, men are falling down to worship the beast. How compromise is eating away at the heart of even the most orthodox of people. Some, I think, were never anything more than wolves in sheep's clothing. Others were good men, but their thinking has been turned askew by compromise. I think of a Dr. Criswell going to see the Pope and bringing the papal blessing back to the Southern Baptists of Texas. I think of a J.I. Packer equally going soft on Romanism and now talking about what he has in common with the Roman harlot. That God's Word has not one single syllable of good to say about. You can multiply these again and again and again. Add to that part of the compromise and the apostasy, the other part which is rife in new evangelicalism, the constant undermining of Scripture. The building it up in one hand, tearing it down with the other, saying they believe in inspiration, authority, infallibility, and then in the next breath pointing out all the errors of Scripture. These are evangelicals. You'll see that there is an apostasy abroad in the land. People are turning back. But I want to tell you, the man who is living by faith will ultimately have to say, this is my determination, not by sheer willpower, but just because I am living with my eyes on Christ and I'm living with my eyes on the glory that is to come. There is no turning back. There's an old hymn that says, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Some people have difficulty with that wording. It seems to place so much emphasis on human decision. I personally have no difficulty with it because I believe that my decision is the result of God's decision. That makes it a well-grounded decision. But I think it has a very important message. In coming to Christ, there is a decisiveness that produces a determination. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.